Welcome to Nourishing the Line with Candace Nichols, the podcast for women over 40, where we empower and educate you to enhance your physical, mental, and spiritual well-being. Each week, we'll dive into topics like nutrition, somatic movement, healing trauma, and embracing your fuller self. Join me and our inspiring guest speakers as we explore the important journey of perimenopause and beyond. It's time to nourish your mind, body, and spirit, and walk in your true alignment. Okay, so today I'm welcoming Kirby Hendricks, or Kirby Wright, will you prefer?
Kirby Hendricks is fine, everyone
Kirby,
knows
me as Kirby Hendricks. Kirby Hendricks. She has a private practice, she is a registered dietitian, she's a nutrigenomics specialist, you know, so you do DNA analysis as well. She's a functional practitioner who specializes in women's health, especially hormonal health around PCOS and endometriosis. She's run a successful practice now for almost over like 10 years already, Kirby?
11 years. This year is
11?
my 11th year.
Yes. I know you are doing extremely well. I love what you put out. And I will definitely be posting your website and your socials in the episode description later. But yeah, I just want you to discuss a bit. Tell us about how you got onto your journey into this niche area, you know, like PCOS, endometriosis, and women's health. And then we'll dive into the other things. Thanks.
So I started in private practice. I guess I always knew I wanted to be in private practice. And so straight from CompServe, straight into private practice. And the thing that was really interesting to me is that once I started being diagnosed with my conditions, I was first diagnosed with PCOS. I automatically started seeing a lot more patients with the same symptoms that I was struggling with the same issues that I was dealing with. And I just started seeing a lot more PCOS patients. So I was first diagnosed with PCOS. Although being in the medical field, I always knew I had endometriosis just because of what I was experiencing. But when I was diagnosed with PCOS, I became a lot more interested in the actual condition. And I saw a lot more patients with PCOS. And at that time, it wasn't really spoken about like it is spoken about today. And it was just an opportunity for me to understand and then help others, not only myself. And as the years went by, I was diagnosed with endometriosis and autoimmune disease, Hashimoto's. And again, it's topics that's not really spoken about, and people don't really know what it is and how it can affect your health. And I just started streamlining the patients that I was seeing and focused specifically on women's health, because I knew that nutrition was such a important part of management. In PCOS, it is first-line therapy. For PCOS management is nutrition, a medical nutrition therapy. So I knew that nutrition had a big role to play in all of those conditions.
Okay. And then tell me, when did you get the DNA analysis qualification, or the nutrigenomics qualification, and what led you to even go further in that direction? Because that is important.
Yes, so it is. So it was about 3 years into private practice. And I was practicing in Cape Town at that time, and there was the Center of Transitional Genomics that just opened. And so DNA genetics was a big topic that was brewing at that time, and they were doing courses, like intensive courses on genetics, because we didn't study genetics really in our degree. And I went to a couple of seminars, and I just got so interested in genetics and how we are able to, we like to say in the DNA world, switch on and switch off certain genes to try and optimize our health and our gut and inflammation. And that then led me to understanding that it's not really just about health. There's so much more to health in terms of genetics and looking at SNPs and looking at how what you do on a daily basis can upregulate or deregulate certain things that we do. So I got into it quite early on into private practice.
Okay, and so you're using both in treating your
That's correct,
patients or
yeah.
clients, and I think that gives a really nice holistic approach
It also,
to
yeah,
management.
correct. It also helps you understand the human body is extremely complex, and what's going to work for one person is not going to work for another, and that is why personalized nutrition is so important.
No, thank you. I think where I'm going to go now is to us women over 40. So
Yep.
we are struggling with a myriad of symptoms that we weren't prepared for. And
Yeah.
even myself being a health professional, I mean, I literally, when I got from the doctor and I got my labs back and my LDL was like high and I'm struggling to lose the belly fat is starting to accumulate,
Yeah.
and it's not bad. I mean, I don't feel like it's a lot, but I mean, I can see that I'm exercising more, but
There's change.
nothing changing. And I mean, we know I've seen other women who've got insulin resistance. And honestly, Kirby, I'm gonna be honest, I hate polypharmacy. Like, I can't deal with, I must be on a med for this, I must be on a med for that. They want to put me on this
Yes.
med, and anxiety goes up. I'm not going to lie, the mental health challenge, your stress resilience just goes down. And I think in some of my
Correct.
other episodes, I will be discussing some somatic therapy as well. But
Yes.
today I want to tackle fiber, because I know fiber plays a big role in blood glucose management control, lowering that LDL. But people don't really know where to get fiber from. They sometimes think, if I've had a fruit and a vegetable today, I'm good, and just discussing some of the effects of fiber. And I know you see big results with your clients. So if you can just educate some of these women on where can they find this fiber and how can they start increasing it in their life practically.
Yeah, all right. So as you know, with perimenopause, it will typically happen 7 to 10 years before menopause. And so we typically look at that around the age of 40, sometimes earlier, sometimes later, depends. However, the hormonal fluctuation during that time is going to lead to a lot of symptoms. So what we find is patients will become a lot more inflamed. They will notice that their body composition is changing, so they're storing a lot more visceral fat. They also notice that they become a lot more sensitive to glucose and insulin. And so all of these changes that are happening can obviously lead to the brain fog, the fatigue, the anxiousness, the irritability, the mood fluctuations, and obviously the weight gain. Now, there's certain things we do in terms of nutrition to try and help with not only weight management, but also to help with the glucose, the insulin, the cholesterol. 23% of females will have cholesterol post-menopause. 70% of us will have cholesterol post-menopause. And so understanding what to do in that transition is obviously going to be very important. And what we use is one of the ways we can try and manipulate that is fiber. Now, because we know fiber is so critical in lowering gut inflammation, because a lot of our patients will say, well, we wake up in the morning and we feel stiff or we feel swollen. And so what we do is we help them understand that we need to be able to get in enough fiber. And when I say enough fiber, I mean for females, let's say you're a healthy, well individual, for females, you'll need about 25 grams of fiber per day. But let's say your inflammation is high, which is something that we can track on a blood test, or you are struggling with constipation, which we often do. Your fiber requirements now goes from 25 grams up to 40 grams. And so often our patients say, but I am eating enough fiber. I'm eating my vegetables every day. So certainly I'm getting in enough fiber. And so often I say, well, let's say you are eating 2 grams of fiber per day. 2 grams of fiber looks like 2 cups of salad. So 2 cups of salad is only 2 grams of fiber, but you need 25. And so if we're looking at the recommendation or the general recommendation of, are you getting in your 3 to 4 cups of fiber or vegetables, sorry, per day? People struggle with that recommendation already. So if you're aiming to reach your fiber goals with vegetables alone, you'll be looking at 10 to 15 cups of vegetables per day to get in that 25 grams. And obviously, that's not sustainable. That's impossible.
Yeah, that's impossible.
So if we can include high fiber, good quality carbohydrates to our meals per day, that's going to easily boost our fiber. So a typical day would look like adding some bran to breakfast. Having a 40 gram portion of bran would give you about 10 grams of fiber versus that 2 cups of salad that will give you 2 grams. Adding a high fiber slice of bread to lunch will give you about 5 grams of fiber. Adding a half a cup of lentils or kidney beans to lunch and dinner is going to give you around 8 grams of fiber. So I always tell my patients they really need to be able to check their labels. Because if we read multi-grain or whole grain, those are just words. That doesn't mean that the food that you're eating is going to be high in fiber. So if we grab a carbohydrate and we turn and we look at the nutritional label, we want to find the word dietary fiber. And if it is more than 6 grams per 100 gram, we know that's a high fiber product. Anything less is not a high fiber product. And we also know that eating these fibers, you are able to produce what we call short-chain fatty acids. And these short-chain fatty acids is your acetate, your butyrate, your propionate. And these fatty acids produce hormones like your insulin and your GLP-1 and your ghrelin. And they help the communication with your brain to say that I'm healthy, I'm full, I'm well. And so obviously these fibers and these fatty acids can help lower that inflammation, as well as it affects how well you're able to use your insulin and your sugars. So that should really be a priority during this transition, is asking yourself, am I getting enough fiber per day? And dietitians like to say, eat more fiber, lose more weight, which is true, because the more fiber we eat, the more we can manipulate inflammation, the more we can help with weight loss, the more we can improve our glucose and our insulin response. And so that is one thing to try and help this transition.
No, I 100% agree. And I've definitely started to increase my fiber just to actually, and also to help manage that LDL levels, you know, because we know that it binds the cholesterol in the gut and that's going to bring those levels down before. And I'm very grateful to my doctor also, who said to me she's going to allow me time to do the big changes so that I don't have to go on any statins. So I've really been at a big drive as well. And we spoke about inflammation. So I also asked to get my CRP done and it was 6.8. So there's slight inflammation with me, you know. So I've definitely made these changes and I started also taking omega-3s. I've added chia seeds and flax seeds, man, to every smoothie and salad. Every smoothie and salad I make has chia seeds and flax seeds in now, which is, and it's actually, I'm actually quite enjoying the transition. I'm not going to lie, in the sense that I'm enjoying adding these new foods and
And it keeps you
experimenting.
full, right? You feel satisfied.
And the bulgur wheat and the quinoa that I'm also
Yes,
like
and the quinoa.
just loving. Because something I've noticed with me, and I think some women experience this, and you can maybe see if women in your practice do, but since I've also been in perimenopause, my digestive system isn't functioning the same. So heavy brands, like if I must eat like an all bran or high fiber bran, I have cramping and bloating for the rest of the day, but I can eat the bulgur wheat and the quinoa with no problem, minimal bloating and stuff. So I've also discovered that, and that might be a challenge for some women. Do you have any advice around that? I mean, if you experience that bloating or discomfort with the fiber?
Look, you are going to experience discomfort if you're going from 2 grams of fiber per day to 25 grams of fiber per day. That is a lot of fiber all at once. And so often we would need to manipulate the amount of fiber you're consuming, and we start off really slow and then we tend to add. Often what patients do as well is they'll say, okay, I'm going to add the flax seed, I'm going to add the psyllium husk, which is really high in fiber. And we only really maybe, depending on the patient, want to go up to a tablespoon of psyllium husk, if that. And so it's all about trying to manipulate your eating plan and understanding what fiber is, where we can find it, and how can I slowly introduce it. Because, like you said before, now that we see an increase in LDL cholesterol, we know that it binds to fiber, and the last step would be removing it through your stool, which means if we want to really understand how healthy your gut is, we want to focus on what your stool looks like. So, you know, we look at the Bristol stool chart, and it goes down from type 1 to type 6. And type 1 and 2 is basically constipation, where we say your stool, if it looks like truckles, or if it looks like truckles packed together like a chunky lunch bar, that's type 1. Type 2, we don't want that. That's constipation. And then we've got type 6 and 7, where you see that you have a lot more of a runny stool, which is diarrhea. We want to be between that 3 and 5 type, where it is a solid formed stool, and that means that you've got a healthy digestive system. So if you're already coming in at seriously constipated, or you've got diarrhea, and now we're upping that fiber very quickly, you're going to feel a lot of discomfort.
Yeah, and I think that's what people, that transition period people maybe struggle with if they don't know that they must expect this. So this is a good conversation because, and we know fiber is not just good for the LDL, it's not just good for the inflammation. I think it's just so good for gut health. And can we speak about that gut microbiome? People don't understand how good it is to have a diverse microbiome, and that fiber is one of the foods that assist with that, you know. So can we talk about the gut microbiome? Because some of the research I've done shows that good healthy gut microbiome, including some probiotics as well, produces GABA, dopamine, and serotonin. So you can actually help that
Correct.
anxiety. We can help that anxiety we are experiencing with some fiber as well. Can you give us some of your,
100%. Yes.
knowledge?
Actually, there have been some studies to show that during the hormonal transition, with the drop in your estrogen and your progesterone, what we see is we do have a compromised digest microbiome, meaning that we may have a lot less good bacteria, and that is why females often struggle with constipation during this time. And so, in order for us to improve our gut or that microbiome, that environment, obviously we have different types of fibers. We have our insoluble fibers, and we've got our soluble fibers, and those do different things. And so your insoluble fiber would be things like your bran, your whole grains, your cereals, your fruits and your vegetables. And your soluble fiber would be things like your psyllium husk and your beans and your root vegetables. And so these fibers, the soluble fiber, will help with putting everything together, and that insoluble fiber will help your stool move through the digestive system. But fiber in its basic form feeds the good bacteria in your gut. And so if we are able to get that foundation of variety of fibers in, there are still other things we need to consider. So your prebiotic foods, like your fruits, like your apples and your bananas and your leeks and your onions, they are going to be quite beneficial to feed that bacteria. And then, of course, we have probiotics to try and help increase and improve that environment. Now, oftentimes people will go for probiotics. So I'm struggling with my gut. Let me go for my probiotics. But if you're not getting in that fiber, that probiotic is not really going to help. And obviously we have some foods that contain probiotics, and that's also going to be helpful, like your pickled or fermented vegetables. And then we also don't want to forget our omega-3s as well, because we don't make omega-3 fatty acids. Your fatty fish is going to be incredibly important, especially for the lining of your gut, because what we don't want is your gut lining. We want it to be quite, we say we want it to be intact. As soon as that lining opens up, we can get something called leaky gut and have all these symptoms that we are struggling with. And so we want that gut lining to be quite intact, and that is why food becomes so important in that process.
Thank you. That was very, very valuable. I actually have a bit of a controversial question, and you can, because I mean, we see this in real life, and people come to us. I mean, I've done a few talks now with women who are in the menopause, you know,
we're just having these conversations. And one woman in particular came up to me afterwards and she's like, well, she, and not just her, I have someone who's not in menopause, younger, but they are doing the carnivore diet. I mean, they are
Yes.
just eating fat and meat, like fat and protein. It's very interesting to watch and to hear what they say. And then my question is, but now you're not getting any fiber. You're not getting, they are getting carbs because they like to say there's no carbs, but they're taking in so much cream and dairy and cheese. And I'm like, you are getting
Yes.
carbs from that. You don't know it, but those are carbs. But the fiber, like, so they're seeing short-term benefits. I mean,
Course.
so
But we
what
also
is your
know
thoughts?
we also know with every diet you are going to see some weight loss if that is the goal. But they are absolutely destroying their microbiome just relying on protein and really, really high amounts of protein. And so when we're looking at things like keto diet or banting or all of these things, it's not sustainable, number one. And the danger with that is even if you lose weight, as soon as you stop and you start to incorporate other foods, you are going to regain that weight and probably even more weight than what you started off with. And because females during the menopausal transition requires the 25 grams of fiber, yes, they require a certain amount of lean protein. They require the omega-3 fatty acids. They require a lot of vegetables. Trying to get in the recommendation versus having those proteins, you're never going to get to your goal of lowering your cholesterol, lowering inflammation, helping with weight loss. So often people say, but Kirby, I can't eat this and I can't eat that and I can't eat that. I often tell them, stop focusing on what you should not be eating and start focusing on what you should be eating. And more often than not, they're not actually reaching those specific nutritional requirements during the transition.
No, I agree. I mean, I 100% agree with you, but it is very difficult to have these conversations though when someone's really passionate about a diet they're following and that you don't agree with. So sometimes we just agree to disagree. But I mean, 100%, we know how important fiber is. We know how important that gut microbiome is. And if we want to extend our quality of life, because that's what I'm after now, I want to educate and
Correct.
empower. We want to improve quality. I don't want to be struggling with joint pain and muscle pain and heart disease when I'm 50, and I think women just need to be educated and empowered. Toby, before we sign off, also, can you just, what advice would you give women in this transition? And then just tell us where they can find you if they want to consult with you, especially
Exactly.
people who've also got PCOS and endo. Like, that's important.
Yes. Okay. I'm going to say, I think the first thing or the easiest thing from today's takeaway is try and add to your meals what is missing. So if you know that you're not getting enough fiber, add in a little bit of high fiber carbs that we've discussed, check the label like we've discussed. And start there. Doing everything all at once is always going to be overwhelming. So if we can just ask ourselves, are we getting in 4 cups of veggies per day? Are we having our fruits per day? And are we adding in some high fiber carbs at breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Start there. And then if you need more education, you can come and find me. You can find me on at Nutrition by Kirby on my website and Kirby_RD on Instagram.
Perfect. And you do in-person consults and online consults, right?
That's correct, yes. In person and online, you can choose. My calendar is live to the public, so you can slot in a consult wherever there is
Beautiful.
space.
Kirby, as always, you are wonderful. I admire your practice. I admire what you've built. I mean, you've built quite a beautiful niche for yourself, but not just that. I think you've just made life so much easier for women who are silently struggling with PCOS and with endo, and the same for me right now in perimenopause. We don't get proper information from doctors. It's so
No.
hard to find a functional practitioner who's willing to listen to me. I mean, I have to ask so many questions, and I think that I'm a health professional, someone who's not. is not going to know what to ask. And so, then I appreciate your platform, the free stuff you put out on your socials, your meal plan guides. Man, I promote you, and so we will share your website and stuff on this. But I wanted to say thank you so much, and
thank
we will
you
invite
so
you
much
again.
for
We
having
will
me.
invite you again.
Yes, please.
If we do another one. Okay,
yes,
thank you.
100%.
Thank you, Kirby. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
Thank you for having me.
Pleasure. Bye bye.